really picked up on this study going through the book of Ephesians? Anything that really grabbed you? I know there's a lot of things that's grabbed me, and there's several verses that did. Anybody have anything? Okay, nobody's hand's going up, so I'll just throw you one out, one of mine. If I do this every morning, this would be good. And if I turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, now let's back up to 4. Back up to verse 4. Chapter 4. Problem is, I have two different Bibles.
Chapter 4, verse 4.
Chapter 4, I haven't told you yet. Let's go down to verse 30. That's kind of where I left off last week, talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. So, chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And verse 32 is what I need to stamp on my head, I think, or arm, or I should probably, I'm not into tattoos, but maybe I should tattoo this on my arm. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If I would remember that every day, my life would be so much better.
Especially when you see me.
Because I have a tendency to be harsh on certain people. Right, Roger? No, I don't. But I'm like, just our attitude would be so much better. Because, you know, we have this attitude. Even my little granddaughter has that attitude. She's three. She's talking to herself, and she's like, she has an issue. Like, and I'm like, where'd she learn that from? Her grandma? I mean, I don't know. But it's like, Carrie's kind of like, yeah, we're going to have to deal with some things. So, did I tell you? I didn't tell you guys last week. So, she got a snow globe down, my oldest granddaughter. She's three. It's glass. She breaks it, and then she steps on it. So, they had to take her to the hospital and sew her leg up. Her foot up. Well, her grandmother stepped on the glass when she was like five. And she had to go to the hospital and get her foot sewed up. So I'm like, see what's going on here? It's following. I'm just pray for me. I should put myself up on that list. Because dealing with them is not going to be good. But anyway, so if I would go by just the things in the book of Ephesians and put them in my life, the last three chapters are practical, right? If I would just do those things.
Put on the whole armor of God every day.
Awesome. I mean, I know it's all there. If I could just do that every day. But I'm like, that's just one book. We got a lot more to go than just the book of Ephesians. And so, you know, whenever you read the Bible, you need to pull out of it, what instruction has God given me in this? And so, so everybody, anybody have anything else to say about Ephesians before I kind of start our new lesson here? Okay, so go over to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And we all know that verse, right? Who wants to quote it for me? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Is all scripture given by inspiration of God?
Yes. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. He should be, you could say complete. That the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. How are we complete? By putting God's word in our heart and life and doing it. Okay? All scriptures given to us. And I've taught that, you know, Paul's books kind of follow that outline of those two verses, that you'll see doctrine, you'll see correction, you'll see instruction, you'll see reproof, all of those in his books. And all of those are to us, right? And so we see that. And then I got another verse that I use a lot, and it's on your handout here. It's Romans 15:4, and it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our What do you think goes in the blank? Our learning. So that's your two blanks so far. Yep. Even when I don't give out assignments, you guys are still writing stuff down in class. You guys never caught that, have you? You're doing homework in class. I just gave you homework outside of class. Okay. So whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what's written in the Bible aforetime for us? Are we talking Old Testament or New Testament? What's the answer? Yes, all of it. All of it was written before us, right? And so not all the Bible is written specifically to us, but it is for us, okay? And so, again, everything in Ephesians you can take to the bank for the New Testament believer. That is to us, that is for us, that is what we need to know, that is what we need to do, that is what do we need to be engrossed in. All of books of Paul's basically are that way. But yet, the Old Testament, we can't just throw it away. Because we can learn from that, even though it's to the Jewish people, even though the law is given the Old Testament. If you're paying attention, we don't follow the law, but the law was fulfilled in Christ. But if you go back and look at all those things, all those types, all those pictures, all those things in the Old Testament point to Christ. And so we need to basically, for the most part, obey what the Old Testament says until we can. You know, we don't do sacrifices because Christ was our sacrifice. But there's things in the Old Testament that we can live by, you can live, that will help us in our Christian walk. Okay? So, for just to say that, I want to go back to our lesson today, back all the way back to Exodus. So, back to Exodus chapter 22. And you're going to go, what in the world does Exodus chapter 22 have to do with Ephesians? Okay? Well, it's in the book, right? Part of the book. And once I read this, you'll see, yeah, Bob, I have no idea where you're going. And so if I get lost, nobody will. But chapter 22 of Exodus. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Now, how many of you guys does that apply to right now? Not really us, right? But let's think about the principles that we're going to see here. What can we learn by looking at this? So let's keep going. And if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. That's what happens today. A thief breaks in your house, robs you, and gets hurt. What happens to him? He sues you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happens here? It's like he gets hurt in the robbery and he dies.
And you go to jail.
You're at fault.
Yeah. Today, somebody's at fault. In the Old Testament, it's kind of like, too bad. Okay? We're not going to shed tears for him. Okay, verse 3. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Wow. That's a little different than today. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, he shall restore double. And if a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, boy, that would be low down, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed, therewith he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Not in California. Verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, and if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand into his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for an ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, for any manner of lost thing which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. And if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seen it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. And if it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, and the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be an hired thing, it shall come for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. And if her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Wow, we just switched from animals to witches. Verse 19. And you're thinking, yeah, you're right, Bob. What in the world does this have to do with Ephesians? Verse 19. And whosoever lieth with beast shall surely be put to death. And he that sacrificeth unto any god, small g, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. And thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. He shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. And if thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, who's speaking here, the Lord, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Wow. Okay. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Okay. So do you think God cares about widows and the fatherless child? No. Man, he does. He did in the Old Testament, and I doubt if he changes his mind. Okay. Verse 25, and if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, and neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Charge him interest, I'm assuming. Verse 26, and if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun, that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein he shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. And thou shalt not revile the gods, again small g, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Okay. So you can't be running around and saying, instead of saying a bad curse word, and you just say, oh Buddha, isn't going to fly with God. Anybody ever do that?
No.
I think I probably have done that before. Probably have. It sounds like something I would do. It's bad. Telling on myself. I'm telling you, I'm not that great, sinless, spotless guy you guys think I am. Verse 28. That's the way I used to be, but I'm better now. Verse 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor cause the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. Oh. Got a problem here. I just found liquor in the Bible. Does that bother any of you guys? Oh, so now, what do you do when you don't know what the word means? I think I know what the word means. So I look it up, and guess what it said? Basically, it means rent, which means pressed. Pressed juice, basically. So grape juice. Okay? Because it's something that has been, again, rent or pressed or went through a process. The first, and then thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy, I would just say grape juice for the time being, and the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine own oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, and on the eighth day thou shalt give to me. Verse 31, and here's, we have a paragraph mark. Do you guys have a paragraph mark in your Bible? Okay. Anybody else not have a paragraph mark in their Bible?
I don't think we did.
Really? No, so you don't. Do you have paragraph markings in your Bible?
I don't know.
Do you know what a paragraph marker looks like? The little squiggly lines?
Oh, and two lines through it. Yeah.
Mike doesn't either.
Mm. You can't be in here.
We're going to have to talk about that. Well, paragraph marks just helps break subjects up. So when we're doing a book study, you could do it by the paragraph markings. So it's just another aid in studying the Bible. I mean, it would help you. But, so the paragraph mark is there to make you see, to help us realize, hey, the context has changed. In verse 31, and it said, "And ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shalt thou eat any flesh that is torn of beast of the field, so shall cast it to dogs." So, we've read this, and again, you're thinking, what in the world are you trying to say, Bob? So, chapter 1 starts with men. Let's go back to verse 1. "And if a man shall steal," starts off with men stealing, and ends with men being
holy.
And in the middle of all that, you have God giving them some instruction. Do you not see it? This is not much different than Ephesians. It's like God is giving them instruction in this book. And they start off stealing and they end up being holy if they obey God's words. Okay? And so this chapter starts out with dealing with men that are disobedient to men that are obedient. And you're like, wait a minute, that's kind of my life story. I was a sinner, I got saved, I was disobedient, now I should be obedient. That's the way it should be, okay? And so verses 1 through 5 pertain to your next blank under point 1, to property. Property goes in your blank. Now, if you're an Old Testament Jewish person and you're trying to follow God's rules, this is a big chapter for you. Because it's basically dealing with agriculture and people's oxes and their animals and how that all works. And so, A, it says some issues are set. They're in your blank. There is a set way that God says, I want you to do this. And if this happens, this is what is going to be done. Okay? It's kind of like in my house. I say something, I'm in the kitchen. I say something, and my wife will go, whose kitchen is this? And I have to say, yours. And that just kills it. Well, no matter what the fight was, I mean, the issue, I didn't want to say fight. Whatever the issue was, she says that, and it's done. It's done. It's kind of like the same way with God. So he sets these things. Okay? And then B, some issues and question will come before a judge. So you see a judge in there too, if there's any issues with the outcome. Some things are just dead set. Other things, well, we need to bring that to the judge, get some more info. See, restitution is always made if there is found fault. Does that happen today?
No.
It is opposite what's going on today.
Yep. It's hard.
It's tough. I wouldn't be a policeman today.
Well, his car, he got T-boned.
But yeah.
The insurance won't pay because the lady that was driving was revoked. So our insurance is having to pay, and we have to pay $500 for deductible to fix it.
To fix
car.
It.
That wasn't his fault.
That wasn't our fault.
Yeah. At least so far, that's how it's working.
Yeah. just didn't have to look far for that.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be nice if we had a justice system that did things just?
Yes.
Okay. But we'll keep going because this is kind of interesting here that we're going to see. So, but that's not like today. And I have a big note on mine. I said, no, you don't see that today, but it should be. Mm-hmm. And Roman numeral number 2 says verses 16 through 31 that we just read. And in fact, one was verses. The first ones we just went through are verses 1 through 15. But in 16 to 31, it deals with laws pertaining to people. A tells us that God tells us how to handle premarital sex, witches, bestiality, serving other gods, dealing with widows and poor people, lending money, and not cursing our leaders. Did they need to know this? Yeah. Is this not God's law? Yes. Is this not God wanted them to do? Yes. And we're looking at this and we're like, not happening today. Well, number one, the world didn't run off God's rules. And they certainly don't run off the Old Testament rules. And the point I'm trying to make here, one of the points is, okay, so the Old Testament Jews were given things they needed to abide by. We were given rules that we need to abide by. And we may think these things are so far outdated and so far out of our realm. But yet, what about the things we just went through in Ephesians? God showed us this is what you need to be putting in your life. And they're not like, you know, bestiality. We're not dealing with the gory, nasty stuff like we are here. We're just telling the Christian, God's telling the Christian, this is how I want you to be. And again, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Because when we don't do those things, we grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not like we're going to bars and running around with women and doing, or men, or doing all this other stuff. No, no, no. What's grieving the, that would grieve the Holy Spirit too. But I mean, what's really, another thing that's grieving the Holy Spirit is when His people are not doing what instruction they've been given. Okay? All right. So hopefully that, I'm trying to get some things across. Under B, we're moving right along. God tells us to give Him today. What's due Him? And so, kind of what we saw here in the old, with the Old Testament. We saw them, this is how basically you were, this is how you need to live, and this is how you'll end up. You'll end up being holy. Okay? And so today, if we go back to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, which again is one of some of our favorite verses, and is, can anybody tell me how they start off? Romans chapter 12.
I do.
Yeah. And so, at one time in my life, I was going to memorize this whole chapter. I got down about 8-9 verses, and that's been a while back. But verse 12 is a very, very strong verse for us as Christians. I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, it's what it says. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You need to remember that verse when you're cleaning the toilets, when it's your turn to clean the church. Because your attitude is not going to be what it needs to be. And I know that because that's how I am when I'm cleaning the toilets. I haven't cleaned them for a little bit, but I have cleaned them a couple times, don't you think? At least twice. Because okay. Right now, most, you know, it's we just need, but that's our attitude. But we need to realize, hey, God gave His life for us, okay? And be not conformed, verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So, again, this I'm just rehashing. I'm speaking to the choir because you guys know this stuff. You're living it. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying we need to not take our Bible and what God has given us, the instruction He's given us, for granted. Because I know I do. And I know you guys do too. And I'm not trying to diss you. I'm just saying that's I think that's us. Okay? And so God gives us things that we need to actually live in our lives. So what do we have that we need to give to God?
Body.
Our life. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Body.
Oh, our body.
Yeah.
Okay. Our body.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hearts.
Our body. Okay, so we could put your body in there. How about, I'm just going to throw some things out. How about, what else?
Time.
Time. Okay.
Time I had.
Time, and you put body, right?
That's what Paul said.
Yeah.
Your mind.
Anybody else? Mind would be good.
But our soul.
Okay, he already has that, but we'll put it up there.
Our hearts. If you'll the way you deal with other people.
What about our hands? To serve. Our service.
Service. Faith.
Tithe.
I didn't have that.
Tithe.
Tithe. Oh, money. So money. Yeah, got it.
Tithe.
I didn't want to hear you.
You need to get a new marker.
Well, I know, it's fading a little bit. We'll try to get by today and I'll switch it. Here's one.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah.
That's a big one. When Paul is on the way back to Jerusalem, I believe it's on his third trip, and he stops at Ephesus. Same book we've been reading. And he has the men come down to the shore because he's on a hurry. He doesn't want to spend time in Ephesus. So he calls for the leaders of the church to meet him down at the boat or the ship. And he basically says, hey, I'm back on my way back to Jerusalem. And he goes, most likely this is the last time you're going to see me. And they're all crying and weeping and everything. And so at the end of that in Acts, he goes, I commend you all to the Lord. So my point is, there was a point when Paul had taught them everything that he needed to teach them, and it's like, okay, guys, I'm going to commend you to the Lord. And you know what? What's going to keep that church going the way they should have? Paul couldn't keep them going the right way. I mean, he tried. He was going around to all the churches. But he stops and he goes, I commend you to the Lord. It's kind of like us. We commend our kids to the Lord. We can teach them, we can train them, we can bring them to church, we can do everything we can. And then you kind of turn them loose and you're like, okay, Lord, I just commend these people to you. In fact, let's go over to Acts. Maybe I can find that. It'd be towards the end of the book. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And you'll see this in other places in Paul's writing. I think you'll see it in Romans 16, 25. You'll see it in 1 Corinthians 1, 8. And he says in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That's the last words, basically, he has to the church. What's going to keep that church going? The Word of God. And he just commends them to God. It's going to be on them now. And it's between them and the Word of God. Same way with our kids. Same way with people that you work with and train in church or whatever. You know, same way with me. I mean, I'm here. I try to teach the Bible the best I can. And you guys do with it with what you do. So hopefully you'll pick up a couple things and learn from this class and put it in your life and use it to in your Christian walk. So we have time. We can give our body. We can give our mind, soul, heart, service, faith, money, kids, basically everything. Okay? Because we belong to Christ. And I'll try to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. I'll just put it down. You have it in your reference. And then I put a quote here that says, one of our founding fathers had a famous quote, and he stated, I regret that I only have but one life to give to my country. Have you guys heard that statement? And I believe that guy's name was Nathan Hale. I checked that out. And he was in the American Revolutionary War. He was a soldier and a spy. The British hung him. And guess how old he was? 21. And he made that statement. He goes, I regret I only have one life. and to live. So what do we learn from that? Number one, you learn this guy had courage. He had conviction. And British people are skunks. I mean, and they still are. They're still trying to defeat us if you go back and look at stuff. But anyway, that's another side issue. They hung a kid because fighting for his country. I mean, that's getting pretty low. But, you know, their whole war with us, they treated us just like slaves. And that again, out of the question. But the thing is, it's kind of going back around again. So he makes that statement, I regret that I only have one life to give to my country. A believer's quote should be, but I regret that I only have but one life to give to the Lord. My personal quote is this, I regret that I don't give more of my life to Christ. That's where the rubber meets the road. Okay? So we're going to sum it up with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into, what's the next word?
Judgment.
With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And again, getting back to Gary's devotion the other day, or message, about being naked before the judgment seat of Christ. Everything's going to get judged. The sinner's going to get judged for not accepting Christ as his Savior. The Christian's going to get judged for his service. Now, I'd much rather be at the judgment seat of Christ than the Great White Throne Judgment, because most of the people at the Great White Throne Judgment aren't going to make it through. But yet, at the same time, we've been given a lot. So we need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to go from a lost man to a saved man. But we need to go from living like a lost man to actually living like a saved man, and not in between. And maybe I'm speaking to myself. And if that helps you guys to remember that, fabulous. But everything God is going to judge. I used to, when I'm witnessing or going into jail or doing places, I tell people, in jail it's really easy. It's like, you know, do you believe that there is a God and you'll stand before Him one day and give an account of your life? Most of the time, they'll say yes, won't they? Most of the time, when they're in jail, I mean, there are some places it's hard to get people to admit that they're a sinner. But in jail, it's usually not that way. Even though they're not in there because they did wrong. But at least they know there's going to be a judgment coming. That's really a good way to really start stuff off. But we get judged also. So I think next week we're going to start going through the judgments in the Bible. You probably went through those in D2. But you're flying low. So we're going to go through them again. I know how D2 works. Okay? Good stuff. But we'll go back through them again. So if we'll probably be. I try to teach whatever I can. It may be D2 stuff. It could be HBI stuff. I'm just teaching what things are going on. So we're going to go through the judgments, and just like the mysteries that we went through. You guys got the mysteries? You got them all wrote down in your Bible now, right? I can teach right out of my Bible because I got the mysteries or the judgments wrote down too. Wrong page. That was the mysteries. And then we got dispensation. We got all kinds of things. So you write them in your Bible, and if you want, you just use your Bible to teach it. But we'll go through the judgments, because we're going to get judged. So let's get judged for doing good than doing evil. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that you have given to us in black and white that we can read. And so we will have no excuse when we stand before you. But yet, Lord, you don't give us this instruction to bring us down. You don't give us instruction in the Bible so to point out all of our sins and things that we aren't doing right. You're giving us instruction, Lord, that we can live a godly life, and that we can live a life that's full of fruit, a life that has joy in it, a life that has meaning, a life that has eternal consequences that will last forever. And so, Lord, I just pray again that we would take full use of your word. We would love your word. We would know your word. We'd put it in our life, and we would live it, and we would do it to the fullest. And I just ask that to today, Lord, that we would do that. In Christ's name, amen.
Why is Romans only being done?